Okay, so today we're actually going to finish the topic of basic analysis. We are on page 234. Page 234. Learning today should be a schus for our dear chaver, Luzi, Chaim Elazar ben Shimshon Aryeh, and Rabbi Yaakov Yosef ben Chaim Menachem ben Tzion. It should also be a schus for Fuhr Shlema, for Chaim Moshe Yeshua ben Malka, Chaim Doiv ben Menorachel, and Chanaliah bat Shein Dorachel, and Abadati ben Perel, as well as a schus for all those in the Makam Sakana in Eretz Yisrael, including Ezreel Baruch ben Penino and Daniel Shlomo ben Rosteka, who I just found out that's my first cousin. I just found out, although he is being pulled constantly to serve, hopefully he might not have to do so for much longer. So I hope that things are improving in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, page 234. When McLeod so he's continuing to talk about the idea of proper reverence in the shul, and he says that one of you have to be careful. Don't speak loudly. In other words, a shul is not a bar. It's not a baseball field. You don't yell out to your friend across the shul, "Hey, Tzvi, what's going on over there? Hey, David, I just came to shul. How's it going over there?" You don't yell in shul. It's not appropriate. I feel a likra the shamadam, even to get the attention of someone else. So you shouldn't be like snapping your fingers loudly like this, and disturbing people. Right? To even to tell someone he's doing something wrong, don't yell at people. When you need it, you speak to someone, you speak to them quietly. Think of if you were in the White House and you were allowed to come into the Oval Office and you're standing waiting for the president's attention. And you're having a conversation with someone. That conversation is going to be very quiet, going to be very respectful. You're not going to disturb anyone else, and you're not going to certainly start, talking loudly or shouting at your friend, even if it's something related to talking to the president. So havdil elef havdalos, even if it's something related to davening, you shouldn't be talking loudly. Okay, but noyam siach. In a pleasant voice, with respect and seriousness, like you're standing inside the chambers of the king. Says we see firsthand how nowadays people will stand in front of the, let's say, the president or a judge. And he's standing in court, and a person is, let's say, on trial for something serious. Person stands with respect, because you know that that judge holds your life in his hands, and so you're not even gonna hear a pin drop. Sorry, it's so quiet you could hear a pin drop. You can even hear a tiny sound because there's a certain level of respect. He says this should worry people who worry. Even goyim who are in church or in mosques or in whatever temple they are worshiping, they are avodas alilim, a very careful. It's quiet places, it's respectful places, they behave with respect. So we have to obviously, alachas kam v'kamo, who are talking to the real Melech Malchim Lachem, have to do with respect. Now, I will tell you just in passing, I had this conversation with Avrami because obviously very early on in Halacha, Avrami was talking about the proper approach that a person should have in davening. And he talks about how, when you go to see the king, you talk with respect. If you go visit the president, you would do it with respect. So I said to Avrami, this is privately, I said, with respect, Avrami, but if I had an audience with President, let's say someone you respect, okay, let's say President Abraham Lincoln, if I had a meeting with him 3 times a day, and then on Shabbos, I sat with him for 3 hours, after a few years, I probably would lose respect for the Oval Office too. I said, it's easy to say if it's one time you go in, but if you're doing it every day, multiple times a day, you get used to it. So human nature is that you can't have that same level of aim and yira. We didn't really have a good, and he agreed with me. He said he had the same kasha himself. I guess that's why the Hasidim Rishonim used to go an hour early, because they would work themselves up and motivate themselves for an hour before davening, to put themselves in the proper frame of mind to that tefillah might be the tefillah, that decides their life. So Vein Emes, continuing, Vein Emes Shoyim Lifnei HaShofet Ein Av Yechzu Es HaShel Lefanav. Now he says it's true. You can't compare, or rather, it's not fair to compare davening in shul to standing in front of a judge. The case I gave, the example I gave you. You're standing in front of a judge, you're on trial for murder, and you didn't do it, but you're terrified because you could go away for life. And you understand that the judge has your life in his hands. Now, he says it's obvious to you when you're standing in front of the judge what the ramifications are of misbehaving, is that the judge can potentially rule against you and lead the case in such a way that it's slanted against you. And you see the potential punishment right in front of you. He says, if you're going to speak out of turn, then you understand that the anger of the judge is going to be turned towards you, and you potentially are going to put yourself in a place where your life will become at risk. He says, you can't say the same for shul, because you have people who act wildly and inappropriate in shul. They don't see who they're standing in front of. We're not punished immediately. Obviously, that's the way of the world. If we were punished immediately, there would be no bechira, right? If every time you did something wrong, a lightning bolt hit you, then you wouldn't do it, and therefore you would not have bechira. They leave a person to make decisions in a way, and that's the way the world is. If you want to do something wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows you the freedom to do it. So there's this tremendous test that the Yetzer is always standing right over your shoulder, trying to tempt you and push you to act in the wrong way against Hashem. He says, this is the source of all rishus, is that you may know the right thing, but at the end of the day, it's your human nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to allow you to choose what you want, and you have the Yetzer Hara always trying to push you in the wrong direction. He says, Yehudi. He says, but it's the chiyuv on every person who believes, Hashem, who believes that Hashem exists, Melech Ayim, and he is an awesome and terrifying king. Makim, God exists in all places, as his glory fills the world. And a person who also believes that the Shekhinah is revealed more fully inside of a shul, or inside the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem is watching the actions of a person to repay him for choices that people make, and he will repay, even for minor things that you do, like you throw a offhanded comment, very small, slight comment. But ultimately, if that's a mitzvah, you'll be rewarded. If that's not appropriate, you will be punished. So certainly a person has to put his best effort and try to act respectfully in shul. Today is the day to do mitzvahs, and tomorrow, meaning in the Olam Haba, is the place to get your reward. You should always keep in mind that you have to overcome the Yetzer Hara, and that's your chiyuv. This is proper for him to do, and this is the purpose of man. Praiseworthy is the man who fears Hashem in all places. And certainly, that in the sanctuary, a person should be quiet in front of God. A person's voice should not be heard when he goes into shul, to speak with his friend. When you're walking in, imagine you're going into the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. You're standing right by the Azara. He's standing right by the Sha'ar Nikonor, and you're looking inside. That's not the time where you're going to start schmoozing with your friend. You understand the severity and the seriousness of the situation. He says that's the type of mindset you should have when you're in shul. But God, the God, the God will be shining. He says people of earlier generations would put kedarim to make sure that people acted properly in shul. Not to speak in shul, even Torah-related stuff. In other words, people were careful. Just like nowadays, people don't talk with their tefillin on, even anything. The makbid, they only daven and then they take it off. He says even things related to Torah, they wouldn't speak in shul, because otherwise people would suspect that they were talking about other private things, and that would lead people to have a heter to talk about private conversations. And here's the key point: this reverence, this respect that a person has to have for shul is not just talking during davening. It's at any time. He says, when it comes to davening, even if you're not in a shul, say you're making a pickup minion at the Yankee game in the seventh inning, So tzarich chizar shalei l'daven tchilas tefillah v'atzeifa. When you're davening, you should be careful not to speak until you finish davening. V'yadua mayma rabbeinu she'amru ein tefillas shel adam nishmas elo beis hakneses. Now he talks about the final idea. The final idea is where should you daven, and where is your tefillah going to be most effective? He says Chazal tell us that a person should only daven in shul. And the Chazal say that if someone, the Gemara in Brachos and Avav, that if someone has access to a shul and doesn't use it, he just says, fine, I'll daven at home. And Nikra Shachin Ra, the Garim Galus La'atzmai. He's called an evil neighbor and he causes Galus for himself. Asher Al Kain Roilish Tadam Oidless Bala Beis Knesses. And therefore, it behooves a person to make every effort to daven in shul. Afilu and mochrech l'spalo biyachid. And even if, let's say your plane lands late, okay? You were supposed to land on time and make it in time for Shacharis, and you missed it. And your plane lands late, but now you have to daven miyachidus. Or you, whatever oinus happened, and you have to daven miyachidus, yechel beis haknesses v'yispal. Don't daven at home. Don't daven by the kaisel. Daven in shul instead. But kol shekein shetzarech l'shtadel harbi l'spalo beis haknesses in matzibur. And obviously, make an effort to be on time so that you're davening with minyan. V'lo yispal biyachid. And don't settle just for davening at shul, and I'm davening alone. And you shouldn't daven with a at home. I feel a minyan, even with a minyan. In other words, the ideal place is shul. And even if you have a minyan at home, you still should go to shul to daven with a minyan there. Unless you have an unavoidable circumstance, because you're losing out in a lot of good things. Now, here's the very, very, you know, if you've been spacing out, this is just an important idea to pay attention for a minute. Because very unusual way for him to end any sugya. We've learned now probably 15, 16 of these topics. And each of the topics usually ends with some sort of bracha, some sort of uplifting. This is the first time, and one of the only times, where he's going to end on a very sour note, very harsh ending. And we'll see why he says on the bottom why perhaps he did this. He says, Vizayev, so after he finished now giving you his whole spiel, he says, V'day b'zeh l'mishe yesh lev tayf. He said, I don't have to go into this anymore. I've said enough for someone whose heart is open and will accept this. If someone does not have a good heart, he says, I could speak for another 20 minutes or 20 pages, and it's not going to change them. And that's the end of the topic. A very harsh way to end. He says, I've said enough. If you got the message, great. Imagine the Rav ends off Pirkei Avos. He says, okay, Rabbi, say it's been 20 minutes. If you got the message now, good. And if not, another 20 minutes is not going to help. You know, mic drop, exactly, Doug. So he says here that perhaps it's reflective of the difficulties that Chazal have had through the years, and obviously continues now, with dealing with people having the proper respect for shul. And it's been a challenge that is going on in the Peleoides' days. And therefore, the Peleoides is ending with the basic bottom line, which is you have to be ready and willing to accept the change. If you're not, then it doesn't matter how much Rabbanim are going to talk about. You know, we talk about this not talking during the davening. We've seen all the ads. We all know people that are sick that would benefit from the schus. The people who are machshavit at a certain point are going to do it and be makabel upon themselves. And the people who are not, it doesn't matter how much you stick it in their face and how many advertisements you take out in the FJJ and how many papers you put out in shul and how often the Rav speaks about it. It's not going to change. And I think that's the point that he's making, is that when it comes to shul, unfortunately, the discrepancy between our chiyuv and what's actually happening is probably the furthest away than where it needs to be than any other area. Even not even Talmud Torah, not even Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, I would say is it's not as far lacking in terms of distance. In terms of Kavod Beis Hamikdash and where we actually are. It's literally a Beis Hamikdash. The shul replaces the Beis Hamikdash. And if you would stop and think, if I was in the Beis Hamikdash right now, would I be joking around with my friend? People make off-color comments. We all do it. I'm talking to myself here. I'm not giving muss to anyone else. I did the same thing. I do the same thing. But in terms of the way that we act in shul, and in terms of what our responsibility is, this is probably one of the greatest failings, unfortunately, that we could say for Klal Yisrael. And again, Rabbanu speak about it. I was upstate in the Grove. Rav Nissen Kaplan spoke about it. You know, harsh, very fire and brimstone type of speech. I don't know. I always say the people who are going to change are going to change, and the people who are not going to change, unfortunately, I don't think anything is going to. You know, you hear someone got sick, and you change for a week, and then a week later you're back to it. So it's got to be a mindset. Basically, what he's saying here is you got to have an open heart, and you got to say, I have a heart. I'm taking this to heart, and I'm going to make an effort to to do differently. And if you're not, like he's saying, I could talk for the next 20 years. It's just giving a speech. It's in one ear, out the other. It's become something that we're just so used to and so prevalent that it's not something that people are careful with. And I think potentially that's what the point that he's making, or whoever wrote this Perush in the Art Scroll is making about the Peleoids, that this is expressing the Peleoids' frustration, I guess, with this topic, is that you got to be the first step before I can even talk to you about a shul is, before the Rav gives a speech about talking, not talking, davening, he has to give the pre-speech, which is, everybody saying, I know I'm going to talk about a topic that everyone heard and everyone's sick of hearing, but at the end of the day, it's something I need to speak about, and you have to open your hearts and be willing to listen. And that's really what has to happen, because if you just go straight to telling people about talking during davening, about answering a main Yeshme Rabbah, or about Kavod and Shul, people just don't care, and it's just going to go, oh, in your eyes, you start rolling in your mind, you start rolling your eyes and say, oh, again about talking during davening, I heard it already. So I think that's the point that he's trying to make here with this very harsh and strong ending.